Low 39. We're currently at 35 on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Well, my voice is not very good today. I'll let the boys do most of talking. Brother Johnny in New Orleans. Johnny!
TDJ! How you doing, buddy?
I've been better at the voice. Mike is in Bristol, Connecticut. Mike!
Guys, how are you?
Good. We start.
What happened to your voice, Dee Dee? What happened to your voice?
It's ironic. Gracie was Ariel in Little Mermaid, and she lost her voice to the witch.
Right.
What happened to mine? All right, we begin with gas prices, gentlemen.
I was here not even a week ago, and it was $4.09, and now it's at $4.67, and it's killing me.
They make so much money off of gas. Why can't they just give us a little bit of a break?
They just jump them up real quick, and it takes forever to get them back down again, and it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, it's pretty crazy.
I think it sucks. They went up pretty high from last week.
Our concern is that this is an artificially created shortage.
All right, $5.70, Johnny. That's a lot in California.
Well, it hits your pocketbook hard. That's cash right out of the off the top of your take home, and people know what that is. And it's, that's not good. We don't like that, and we should be able to do better. I don't think that's necessary. We can do better than that. That's too high to pay for gasoline.
Well, I don't know, John. You'd have to tell me, is it the oil companies or is it the states? I mean, is it the state of California? Is it both?
It's the market. It's mostly just the oil market. It's like corn and beans. Beans are $16. I mean, you think the farmers are going to say, well, I'm not going to charge that much. That's too much for beans. It's just the market. That's what it's going for in the world market. And that's what it translates into when you refine it into gasoline. And a lot of it is taxes in the states, Steve, in some states. But it's a commodity. And whenever there's a lack of supply and an increase in demand, the price goes up.
Does this affect the election?
Sure, I think it affects the election. I think that particular thing is really right in your personal pocketbook. And you're thinking about it. I don't know if people are going to say, oh, I'm going to vote for a different president because I'm paying too much for gas. But it definitely makes you think, you know, someone's out to get you. It's a negative, I think. So,
I don't know. But if you're making $10 an hour, you know, $12 an hour, whatever people make, some of these people, and you're paying $5.70 for a gallon of gas to go back and forth to work, I mean, I don't know that you're even breaking even.
That would bother me a lot.
I mean, I think there's got to be a way that we've got to understand that, you know, we got to quit gouging the American people. I don't care if we're oil company or bean companies or farmers or whatever. I mean, you know, we should be all in this together. I understand everybody has to make a living, but my God, you know, there's got to come a point where you say, stop it. You know, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, what, 25 cents a gallon?
Well, and I think we've talked about it since I was a kid about an energy policy and where you might be able to mitigate that kind of a thing, but we haven't done it. And the free market rule, and we haven't really developed the energy sources we probably could have. You know, when oil drops to $15 when it was $15 or $40, then everybody quits looking for anything and just starts making that cheap gasoline out of that cheap oil, and then they got us. And it's been going on for, what, 50 years, Steve?
Do you think anything's going to change?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think, first of all, you're going to have better and better gas mileage, which is a big plus, because that's gonna help. And then I think we can get, I don't know if it'll ever get too low, but I think we're going to get more gas.
If you don't allow drilling permits, I mean, drilling permits have dropped from, I mean, Clinton had them at a certain level, then Bush had them at a certain level. Right now, they're an all-time low level under this administration. So you have, if you're not drilling for them, you're not finding new sources of energy, and then you come into this green thing with the cylinder and this stuff, it's all ridiculous. I mean, you're spending, the government's wasting money, spending money, instead of finding and taking advantage of the resources we have, the oil we have. Maybe you develop a coal process where you can get energy from that. There's a lot of things out there that can be done, but it can't be done because of the environmentalists, basically, who are saying, oh, you can't do that. You can't dig a hole in the ground. You can't bring that oil out. I mean, it's stupid.
Well, we do have a real anti-oil sentiment in some regard, and that doesn't work when we're all driving cars. The reality is we have to have gasoline.
And I heard all those comments made by those people out in California, and probably all of them are the same. They're probably all environmentalists. So be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you campaign for. Be careful what you hope for, because if you get it, you might not like it.
Yeah. All right, last night in New Orleans, Louisiana.
This record for 52 years, Johnny Unitas, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game, really revolutionized the position. It's a tremendous honor. It's humbling.
That's Drew Brees, Johnny. He did it.
Saints win. Wow. Yeah, we were there and saw the catch, and I think he threw for 4 touchdowns. So, Johnny Unitas, Mike, I guess it was, how many games in a row was it that he had a touchdown pass?
He broke it last night at 49. It was 48, I believe, or 49.
Oh, 48. Okay. I don't remember the number.
But you're talking about between the years 56 and 60, where you probably threw the ball 20, 25 times a game, maybe 28. You had a running back named Lenny Moore. You had one named Alan Amici. So, the Baltimore Colts were more about, don't let me diminish what Drew Brees has done. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's the epitome of consistency, excellence. I mean, I agree with all that. I mean, and I don't mean to diminish it one bit. The game has changed, guys. That's all I'm saying. It's a different game. It'll change from, it looks right now like Brady can break the record, too, in this season. So when you look at the way the game is played now, it's become a high-speed, high fast-throwing game. It's a whole different game. I'm not taking anything away from anybody. I'm just telling you the game has changed now. I think you got to understand that. You know, the basketball and baseball have changed, too, I mean,
but still, you think about 52 years for that thing to hold up. That's just amazing.
It's pretty special.
Well, back then, when a guy went back to pass, it was usually fairly unusual play.
Usually it was on third down, guys. Let's be honest with you. Not always, but, you play play action. But, you run the ball a couple of times, try to make a first down. If you did, you threw it. I mean, it's just the way it was. I'm not, but we can't diminish what Brees has done. You can't diminish that, but you have to understand the game has changed. That's all.
One thing that's changed, Mike, when those guys went back to back pass, they could get creamed, and nobody was going to throw a flag.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually truly right. There was almost anything went blow to the head, hitting anywhere you wanted to hit. And you're right about that, too, John.
Are we getting too careful, or is it necessary?
I think it's necessary. I think that you got to be careful that you don't legislate hitting out of football. It is what it is. I mean, it's a and people used to say, well, it's just, at times can be a very brutal sport. I mean, you saw the fans in Kansas City. I mean, they're cheering when their quarterback gets hurt. I mean, this has become a pretty pathetic thing right now, that when winning becomes more important than health and safety, you've got a little bit of a problem, and you're going to have to look at it severely. And I think that's why the league is cracked down so hard on some of these hits, and why the officials are making some of these calls. We say, well, that's just part of football. Well, it is and it isn't. When you can't contact head to head, and if it's called, then you got to understand why it's called, because it's against the rules.
Yeah, and I think that it's just a mentality that, and they've been pretty consistent as far as that goes.
I think the officials and we see week after week whether they're replacement or late, anybody can miss calls, but these guys have kept this game pretty much in order, under control, and I think that's very important that they do that. But Stephen, asked your question before, injuries are going to come. So what do you tell an 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid? Do you want to play football, or would you rather concentrate on playing something else? But I don't know. Would you tell them hockey? I mean, I don't know. That's pretty dangerous to it, yes. So, but the football thing, I think a lot of parents are going to look at it and say, critically, and say, wow, I don't know if I want my kid doing this, really. And I don't care what kind of living you make, but I don't know if I want my kid doing this. And eventually, I think they're going to lose a lot of people coming out of from grade school into the high school sports system because of that.
As you guys know, I told him golf. That's what I told.
Yeah, well, that's a good sport.
Golf, tennis, you know, yeah. Ping pong. I mean, they all work.
Yep. Hey, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. They lose to Indianapolis. And how good are the Bears, Mike?
Well, the Bears are really good right now because of what we said for now. I've said for 3 weeks, if you can play defense and you can be good special teams and have some type of running game, you've got a chance to be pretty good. I think they're finding that they can do all three of those things. And when they do that, it takes the ball out of the quarterback's hand, takes the pressure off the quarterback. He doesn't have to win every game. You don't turn the football over. Right now, guys, what they're doing is pretty impressive. I mean, it's never happened in the history of the game. The same two guys, week back-to-back weeks, have returned interceptions for touchdowns. Mm. It's never happened in the NFL before, and it happened to the Bears. So you're asking me how good are they? I think, and I said this yesterday, and I believe it, that don't go as far as Cutter takes them. I really think that their defense is good enough to get them to through the playoffs and the Super Bowl. I think special teams are, don't turn the ball over. I think Cutter's an outstanding football player, but don't turn the ball over. I understand it's going to happen once in a while, but, you know, I mean, don't try to make a living just throwing the ball up for grabs, is what I'm saying.
You know, Mike, you talk about the Green Bay Packers and watching the Saints. This has struck me that there's a threshold about defense that you have to meet, or you're just not going to be it. You have to have a certain level of defensive ability as a team, or you can't compete in this league, no matter how good your offense is. Because
I agree with that 100%, and we see that with football teams, and sometimes you can overcome it like the Saints did last night, but they don't have a good defense. When you look at teams that don't have, look at Buffalo. How can that happen? It's never happened in the history of the game that they've gone week to week with that many, giving up that many. One team has given up that many yards. It's never happened in the history of the game 2 weeks in a row. So, I mean, when you start looking at what's going on, it gets a little embarrassing. I mean, we talk about how good the game is, but then at times the game is that bad also. And maybe it's the people in the game. I don't know. I say the skill level is unbelievably high, and it's unbelievably low at times.
It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, 95.3. And tonight, maybe the best team, Houston, huh?
Well, they are. There's no question about it. You're talking about a New York Jets team that has failed. Everything is done. It's reeling. It's coming off a very bad loss. But then again, you don't know what the heck's going to happen. But if you look at Houston, they score more points in the league than anybody, and they give up less. Now, guys, I'm not a genius, but if you have that formula, you should be pretty good. Going into this week, they were the highest-scoring team, and they gave up the least number of points. Wow. I mean, figure it out.
You know, and that's Kubiak. And don't forget they got Wade Phillips when he left Dallas.
I agree, John, that the coaching is a big part of it. They've also drafted intelligently. Don't forget, they got rid of Mario Williams. They got rid of some guys. And they didn't miss a beat. They're better now on defense than they were with Williams, and they got rid of a $70 million bill when they let him go.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to this news story. Thursday night,
Republican National Chairman Reince Priebus says Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan has to keep the momentum that Mitt Romney gained in his first debate with President Obama.
We had a good week last week, there's no doubt about it, but we have to have a good week this week and the week after.
The Democratic mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, says Vice President Joe Biden
communicates in a way that I think connects with people. At a real level.
And Vice President Biden's the more experienced politician. But Priebus says about Congressman Ryan,
Paul is a smart guy.
Priebus and Nutter appeared on CNN's State of the Union. In Washington, Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
Does Joe Biden come out swinging, Johnny?
Well, I think, we've joked a little about Joe, but he does connect. He's kind of a blue-collar kind of guy. And I don't know whether he'll put his foot in his mouth here or not, but I wouldn't take that for granted. He's done this a lot. I think Paul Ryan is very intelligent, and we'll just see how it plays out. Mike, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably watch that.
He's not a blue-collar kind of guy. He's a blue-collar kind of phony. I mean, he's going to take that side. He's going to do the class thing, the same thing that Obama does. I mean, this is what they do. This is who he is. He'll try to be the comical guy up there. He'll try to make the jokes and make the other side look bad. But, I mean, it's just too bad. If you're talking about guys, and this guy doesn't get it. I mean, you're talking about the worst. He said, think of something happened in our country, and this guy would become president. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can understand where you hide the guy as a vice president, and you don't let him do very much, which they have not let him do until recently. He has done zip, zero, nothing. They haven't even had to let him be heard until recently. Now he's coming out and starting to talk a little bit. He's going to be in a debate. But come on, guys. If this represents the best of your party, you've got a big problem.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's going to be that's going to be an interesting one, because you got a guy with a lot of facts and maybe not as much charisma, and then a guy that I think you're right, Mike. I think he's kind of likes to joke around and kind of be your buddy, and but he doesn't really know a lot.
Yeah, but there's there's no substance to it. But you know, if people want to buy into it, fine. I mean, that's just the way they're going to buy into what they want to. Believe me. But if you think that Joe Biden is kind of a politician that we should be enamored with, then we got to be really crazy.
But you know, if you had a beer with him at Daily Sports Bar in Philo, Johnny, you'd probably like him.
I'm sure. Yeah, I was sitting at the bar having a beer. I'm sure.
I'd like
guy.
If he bought the beer, which I thought he'd do. I don't think he would spend the money for a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, he reminds me of a guy that's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to say? You know, you here's a guy I don't like, so to come drink beer with me on me? Come on, forget it.
Hey, the recent polls indicate Mitt Romney ahead now nationally. And even in some of the battleground states. So the debate looks like it had real impact, Johnny.
Well, I think it did. And but then, too, we're just a little wishy-washy. You know, Mike, we're just a little wishy-washy. You go up, you go down, something happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's too early, John. It's way too early. You got a vice president debate. You got a couple more debates. It's way too early. I don't care what the polls say, what they tell you, this state is leaning this way or that. It doesn't matter. Let it play out for the next.
And then there's another couple of debates. You know, Obama's going to be different with the next debate, so I certainly wouldn't sell him short in a debate. So.
He's going to be different. I don't know if he'll be any more factual, but he'll be different. There's
right.
No question about it.
Well, two guys did this study in Colorado, two professors, and for 30 years they've been right every single election based on the economy. They got Mitt Romney winning 330 electoral votes.
Now, that'd be amazing.
If it's true, I mean, guys, if you look at the facts, if you look at what's been accomplished under this administration, nothing. Domestically, foreign policy-wise, defense spending-wise, and this has been a failure. It's been a total failure, if you want to be honest. Now, if you want to beat around the bush and say, whoa, they killed Osama bin Laden, that was all put in the operation long before he got in office. Come on, guys. Well, we did the kill. And you can talk to the Navy SEALs about all that stuff. They can tell you about what they did do, but what they did do, I don't know what it is, because I haven't seen anything. You don't have a budget, and what you do is you've created class warfare in our country. You've created a political system that won't work together at all. So what have you really done? I mean, there's animosity all throughout our system right now. Why? It's never been to this extent that I can remember in my lifetime. Why is it all of a sudden now? Why have we split this thing up so much that we can't put country first once in a while instead of party first?
Yeah, and that's a good question. You know, I look at some of the other leaders we have, and it's certainly not all the president or any particular leader. Some of these folks are just terrible, and they're just so partisan.
Come on, you guys, come on, you be terrible. Harry Reid, come on. Stop it. I mean, it makes no sense at all. You're talking about people that you wouldn't hire in your business if you had a business. You wouldn't hire these people.
You're right.
Part of your business.
No, you're 100% right, and it hasn't got anything to do with issues or policy. It's got to do with attitude and integrity, and they don't have it, and that's where we're in trouble. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll come through. 330 electoral votes is is a pile of electoral votes.
Well, they had him winning Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida.
Well,
I will see what happens. You know, let's not count your chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Let's hope that we do get our chickens hatched before this thing's over and we move on and take this country in a new and better direction than it's gone for the last 4 years.
All right, finally, Cardinals, Nationals, bases loaded for the Cardinals, bottom of the seventh, they're leading 2-1. They swing at the next two pitches. They get three outs in two pitches. I'm yelling at the screen, take a pitch. Unbelievable. They lose the game 3-2.
That's a tough loss. And, I mean, I think the Reds really surprised me by the number they put up on the Giants. And the Yankees coming back and winning 7-2 in the ninth inning. And, you know, there's a lot going on right now. But the Nationals win, that really did surprise me. I know they're a good team, but I still think the Cardinals are a pretty good team.
Yeah, I'm hoping. All right, guys, we'll let you go. But thank you so much, Mike and Johnny. Mike, we'll watch you on ESPN tonight.
We'll be all right, guys.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank
you, Johnny. Brother Johnny, Mike Tinnick, we had a double today.
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
Right at the beginning and right towards the end.
Mike said, stop it early, stop it late.
Yeah.
Come on, stop it.
Come on.
So we had a $100 winner?
Yes, we did. Jason Ron from Tuscola.
All right, we'll get with Jason coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 till. It's ESPN Radio. It's Monday. We'll be right back.